Scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, in the 24th chapter, beginning in the 36th verse and continuing through the 53rd verse, Luke 24, 36 through 53. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they had seen a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. While they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. The word of the Lord. Look at my hands and feet. It is me. And he showed them his hands and his feet. We spend a great deal of time looking at our hands because we're old and vain and they're cracked and we don't want them to look that way. So we put lotion on them and we decorate them. We get manicures of those who need those, and those of us who need cuticle work, we have that done. We work on our hands so they'll be presentable to other people, and our hands tell a story. When we've cut them, or we've brushed them, or we've chipped them, we use our hands, and so we see our lives in our hands, and we see our lives in the hands of those we love. Maybe we've held hand with a spouse, or held hands with a parent, or a child, or a friend, or someone who's important in our lives, and we run our fingers across their hands, and we see the roughness, or feel the smoothness, or we see the things that they have done. We see things in their hands. Our hands and our feet. Look at my hands and our feet. We think about our hands, not so much our feet. We look down there and we see bunions and hammer toes, and we have surgeries and we have problems going on. We have scars on them, or we've dropped heavy things on our feet. Our hands and our feet tell a story. It is in the early resurrection appearances of Jesus that the early church discovered who they were and found their mission. Those appearances gave meaning and purpose to those early followers. Great importance was placed on verifying these resurrection appearances. And how is Jesus' resurrection verified in the Gospel according to Luke? Look at my hands and my feet. It's me. Look at my hands. How were hands evidence of the resurrection? They told a story. Someone works on cars, we find grease under their nails. If someone gardens, we find dirt under their nails. If someone's a golfer or works around the kitchen or uses needle and thread, their hands tell a story of what they do. I think about my mother's hands, her hands that played piano keys or stroked my hair in her lap when we were at church, or when she's snapping pictures on her camera, or even when she wraps them around a walker. I tell you a story in my father's hands working on a car or playing tennis or cooking barbecue. I see story in my granddaughter's hand when she holds my hand. You see a story in the hands of those that you love, those hands that grasp you in times of trouble. Those hands that hold you in times of need. Our hands speak of who we are. And so when Jesus said, look at my hands and feet, to the disciples, they saw their very lives in his hands. His hands were the hands that worked in a carpenter's shop. They were the hands that lifted children, that fed the 5,000, that touched the leper, that spit into the mud and touched the eyes of the blind and raised the dead girl and broke bread and raised the cup. His were the hands that, well, they bore the scars of the crucifixion. When Thomas asks to see his hands, he wants to see the scars. How are our hands evidence? How are Jesus' hands evidence of the resurrection? His disciples saw their very lives in his hands. They saw everything they needed to believe when he held out his hands and his feet to them. And I so love the story and the accounting of Jesus' ascension. When he tells his disciples he must go now as it was proclaimed, and he tells them all of it, that it has been fulfilled in his life, then what does he do with his hands? He raises them. And he blesses them. He raises them and he blesses them. The hands in which the disciples saw their very lives, those hands torn and scarred, were lifted to bless them. And because his hands blessed them, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were in the temple blessing and praising God. The ascension was not a defeat. It was not a separation, but rather a reminder that the hands of Christ blessed them, and they could put their hands to work now too. You are my witnesses, and tell the good news of repentance and forgiveness. In their lives, they had experience the touch of Jesus. There are certain people that touch us. There are certain people that make a difference, whether it's a mother or a father or a friend or a child or an adult. Those people that held our hands or held us up or spoke to us. People who built our homes or built our lives. We see that when they touch us, our lives are forever different. Jesus touched. The story of our God and our faith is that Jesus touched in the temple, and he began to learn the ways of faith as a child in the wilderness when he was tempted to claim earthly power and glory. And he said, we do not live on bread alone. His hands were raised. His hands and feet crossed the street to the wrong side of the street, to touch the wrong people in the eyes of others, and he touched them. His feet guided a donkey into Jerusalem, and he touched the people in the crowd as they cried, Hosanna. His hands touched, and he held a cross as he stumbled toward Golgotha, loving us to the very end. And when he appeared to his disciples, touched them, and he let them touch him. We live generations past, and yet we have experienced the touch of a loving God who has held us when we cried, who has held us through despair. Those who loved us have, and the touch of God has been present with us. Our story of faith is not a God who is distant, who does not get involved with the life of the creation. Rather, the good news of our faith for all time is that the hands of God have touched humankind. The promise of our faith is those hands hold us. The promise of our faith is those hands bless us. The hope and assurance of our faith for hours to come is that the same hands of God hold and bless us. And when we lose those that we love, we believe in a God who receives them. And the very hands that blessed the disciples are the hands that received our loved ones who seem separate from us. No, they're in the hands now of a loving God. And while our eyes are filled with tears with those we have lost, we can find assurance that God still touches. And those hands that touch our lives receive those that we love. ascension means that God's promise and plan for the whole world has been fulfilled in Christ. The ascension reminds us that God has received and fulfilled, and death can't stop that. There's nothing in all creation that can stop God's grace and mercy and peace from happening. We say in the Apostles' Creed that he ascended into heaven as a reminder that he ascends, that he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and will come to judge the quick and the dead. It's a past act. It's a present reality. It's a future hope. The God who has created and touched this earth and breathed life into us is the God who receives us. What's happened in your life this past year? Maybe a lot's happened in this last year. Maybe you got a new job, or you retired from a job. Maybe you saw the birth of a grandchild, or maybe you had a grandparent who passed away. Maybe you had a child enter kindergarten or graduate from high school. What has happened this past year? We are reminded that every year is a journey for us. As people of faith, we follow the Christian year, and we look in these windows around us. We begin with birth of a child. We see the birth of a child in the window that is behind me. In the left side of that window is the birth of our Savior. We look at baptism. We see the baptism of Jesus. We have celebrated that as a people. We see Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. We see resurrection. We see ascension. We see the story of our faith as we have gone from cradle to grave, as we have gone from employment to retirement, as we have gone from education to teacher, as we have, so God already has. Ascension reminds us that the mission is fulfilled in Christ. God has sent his Son into the world to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sins. Ascension means that mission is completed, that Jesus has finished that work. And now we carry that story. And the hands that touched us, that power is placed within us. Next Sunday we celebrate Pentecost, that the power of God and the Holy Spirit comes, and we are enabled to be people who use our hands and our feet to bless others. Jesus finished the work, and now we have a work to do. Next Sunday, the white cloth comes off of the cross. Pentecost is celebrated, and we begin our work, and we put our hands and feet to work. Baby camel asks her mother, "Why do we have such huge two-toed feet?" Mother says, "When we go across the desert, those toes stay on top of the soft sand to guide you." "Well, Mom, why do we have such great long eyelashes?" asks the baby. And the mother responds, "It's to prevent the sand from entering our eyes on our trips through the desert." "Mom, why do we have this hump on our backs?" And her mom replies, "It's so you're able to store water for long trips across the desert." "Oh, okay," said the baby. "I got one more question, Mom. What are we doing in the San Diego Zoo?" We were built with a purpose. We are built to go somewhere. We're not built to remain in one place, to move. And the hands of Christ that were lifted to bless the disciples, the hands that have held you in your moment of crisis, those hands have been lifted to bless us and remind us that we still have a purpose. Our hands can touch too. Our feet can allow us to travel to places and to touch. And maybe it's across the world in mission, or maybe it's across town to someone in need, or maybe it's across the living room. Our feet don't move as quickly. Our hands don't work as deftly as they once did, but they still can touch, can't they? Someone needs a touch of your hands. Someone needs you to take a step toward them. I'm not sure who that is for you. I'm not sure exactly what your mission is, but I think maybe you have an understanding that if you've been blessed by a loving God, that you carry good news, that there's repentance and forgiveness come. Somebody needs to know that God forgives. Someone needs to know that God touches, and maybe they'll experience that most definitely through your touch. Consider the touch of God that has come to your life and lifted you and raised you, and consider too the challenge that you might touch someone as well. Let us pray.